Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you may be listening to us from across the entire universe. Welcome to another episode of The Doctors Are In here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. This is Dax Carlisle. I'm a tarot advisor, numerologist, and life coach coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona. And joining me, as always, is my fabulous co-host. She is a certified life coach, a spiritual teacher, Dr. Rose Wilkerson, coming to us live from Berkeley, California. How is it out in California, Rose?
Hey, this is the Sunshine State, and it's sunny outside, supposedly. No, I'm kidding. It is sunny outside. I'm saying supposedly.
Imagine
because I
that.
Barely go outside. But it's nice. It's nice. You know, we have the spring weather coming up. And it's a little bit warmer. It's not as cold. Of course, in the Bay Area, we kind of go up and down with the weather patterns a little bit until it stabilizes in the, you know, in the new season. So really nice weather, really great time to be out and get some sunshine.
Oh, it's great here in Tucson. I mean, we've had sunny days for over a week now. We're in the 80s. You know, it hovers around the high 70s into the 80s, and I'm out on the patio, shaded with a nice breeze. It's very light, but just enough to cool it off where it's like, wow, it's really nice out here. Hey, did you like how I did in the intro from across the entire universe? Because that's what we're talking about on today's show. So
yeah,
I thought I'd throw that
it.
In there.
I loved it. I was laughing. I was muted, but I was laughing.
We're talking about the origin of the universe. I mean, can we get any more deep, Rose?
Yeah, we can. Pretty deep. That's pretty deep stuff. But today we're just giving an introduction, though. Or rather, you are giving an introduction, and I'll be here to support.
It's a very introductory thing. Yes, yeah, because doing it on a radio show and, you know, something that really takes weeks or months to even get a grasp of and years of study to really understand, you know, we're looking at this from a sacred geometry point of view, and it's all interconnected with numerology and tarot and everything. So there's a lot of fun stuff in here. You know, we're going to be you know, if you ever wondered why tarot is structured the way it is, this is why. Yes, and it deals with the origin of the universe and everything else. But we are a live call-in show, and you can talk with us also during the show. You can call in, and the telephone number is 714-816-46. You can also join us on the chat post at psychictalk.net/chat. So you just open a new tab in your browser, type in psychictalk.net/chat. That'll take you right over to our Facebook group, to a post, and in the comments on the post, we're using it like a chat room. So pop over there if you can't call in, but you still want to chat with us, maybe, you know, ask for a mini reading or life coaching right there in the chat post. You can also talk to other listeners, talk to each other, talk to us during the live show. But, of course, we'd rather actually talk to you live on air on the phone. So dial in at 714-816-4628. Get your spot early and remember to press 1 when you dial in, because that puts you into the queue in the order that you called in. Don't hang up, because if you call back in, it's going to stick you at the bottom of the list there. So hold on to your spot and strap yourself in for this conversation we're about to do here. I did want to mention a couple of things before we get into that. One is the card of the day. Actually, I got the 9 of Pentacles, and it was perfect because the entire date and the day reduced to 9. So it's 9s all around. Yeah. Yeah. And 9 is the completion of a cycle. Say again, Rose?
Oh, no, I was just thinking that I remember you mentioning the number, the power of the number 9 last show.
Yeah. And it's going to come up today because we're going to talk about where the numbers came from, actually. It's all interconnected. And 9's the end of the cycle. This is a really great day to, you know, take a step at what you've accomplished and get rid of anything that's no longer serving you. It could be physical objects, cleaning out the closets, literally, you know, it is spring cleaning, right? And then also, you know, relationships that aren't serving you anymore. Why are you holding on to that? Beliefs that are no longer serving you. So right. This is a great day for that, yes. And then also, the Nine of Pentacles, you know, I call it the self-made woman card. You know, she's in her lush garden with all of her pentacles and all that she's accomplished. And she it's like the card of the entrepreneur, you know. So today's a mm-hmm. good day to reward yourself for all the good, hard work that you've done since the beginning of the year. I know a lot of you have been working on it. You know, be proud of what you've accomplished and you know, treat yourself today. So that's all I have to say about the card of the day, the numerology of the day. And then I do want to mention that today's show is sponsored, as always, by the Tarot Guild. You can visit us on the web at thetarotguild.com. Thetarotguild.com. In fact, I'm going to grab that URL and put it into our chat post that I was just talking about so people can easily get over to it. And remember, that's at psychictalk.net/chat if you want to jump in the chat with us here. And we've got April spring specials going right now. So if you always wanted to learn tarot and numerology, and by the way, in my course, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, I go more in depth into the sacred geometry and the connections to tarot and numerology. You learn numerology and tarot side by side in my course called Tarot by the Numbers. And I got a special going right now where you can enroll in my course, Rose, and you'll get your professional membership to the Tarot Guild and your CTR, Certified Tarot Reader Certification application. You'll get all of that free if you enroll in my course. Now, some of you, in fact, a lot of people listening to the show are already professional readers, Rose. So I decided to do a special just for them. I'm going to take 10% off. You can get a package deal with our professional membership, which is $39.99 a year. It's $3.33 a month. And then we discount certification for professional members. So normally it's $78, the number of cards in the deck, $78 for each level of certification. But for professional members, it's just $47. So 47 and 39.99, I think it comes out to like, you know, those two together is like 86.99. So we're taking 10% off for April, and you can get the package deal, and it's just $78 for both. Go over to thetarotguild.com, and right there on the main page, you'll see a green banner for the special for professional readers, and then right below it is a blue banner for my course if you'd rather enroll in the course and get the membership and the certification free. So those are the specials we have going on, and you can check it out at thetarotguild.com. All righty. So how did this even start? So you and I were chatting on the phone one day, and we got all into this, you know, I was talking about, you know, the perspective of sacred geometry, how the universe was created, consciousness coming first, whereas the material scientists see it the other way around, you know, the Big Bang, everything happens, and then with our big brains, we can create consciousness arose then at that point. And I was like, well, from the sacred geometry point of view, it's actually 180 degrees opposite. Not only that, normally we're on the bottom of the totem pole, right? You know, you got the humans down here, and then for those that are for those that are believers, you know, you have the angels up here, and then you got God at the top, right, kind of thing. We need to take that pyramid and flip it upside down, because we're the highest creation, and there's a huge reason why, and we're going to get into that with how was the universe created. So we're going to go at it from a sacred geometry point of view. Now, normally, you know, astronomers and cosmologists, you know, they physically look back to the beginning or the near beginning, looking back through telescopes and radio telescopes and background radiation. And you know, this leads to the concept of the Big Bang, which actually most scientists have, you know, put that on the back burner now, but it's still in. When people talk about the origin of the universe, they still say the Big Bang, even though there's a new concept of that, which we don't have time to get into right now. But, you know, they say, you know, we look back 13.8 billion years ago to the creation of the universe. The interesting thing is, Rose, they've done some newer calculations which have not trickled down to the rest of us. And the universe might be actually billions of years younger than we think it is, more in the 11.5 range, billions of years. But whether it's 11 billion or 13 billion, it's a long time ago. And so physical scientists, you know, they're trying to figure this out from, you know, observing the observable universe, but they can't actually see the Big Bang, and they can't actually, of course, see before the universe was created, right?
Right.
Yeah. So what sacred geometry does is looks at the patterns and in the physical universe and extrapolates from there, and we do some mind experiments to kind of going on and be able to actually look before the universe was created, which is really, really, really cool. Now, like I said, you know, this takes a lot of weeks of study, months even, you know, to even begin to grasp this stuff. You know, it's all talking about patterns, the Fibonacci spiral, the golden mean ratio, platonic solids, and the flower of life. We'll actually get into the flower of life and the platonic solids today, but you know, there's too much there to unpack. So let's just simply say that what people have noticed through the eons, as we look at the physical universe, the same patterns show up all the time, the same ratios. And it doesn't matter whether you're looking at a human being or an animal or an aquatic animal, birds or insects, any type of life, these patterns exist. And not only in life, when you start looking, you know, with our scientists can look down to the smallest things, you know, think of the atom and subatomic particles, and the astronomers and the cosmologists look at and contemplate the biggest things, like galaxies. They all have the same patterns, the same spirals, the same ratios. It is phenomenal. It can't be accidental. It's the patterns that put the universe together. So as I was saying, you know, the material scientists, you know, life arose. We got our big brains. Consciousness is created. You know, sentient beings. I want to say sentient beings because, hey, you know, let's not leave the aliens out. You know, there could be sentient aliens out there, right? Life probably arose all over the universe. We just don't know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But from the sacred geometry perspective, it's the other way around. Consciousness existed first, then everything physical comes from consciousness. And so what was before the Big Bang? What was before the universe? And why was it created? And then, okay, go all the way 13.8 billion years later to us. Why are we here? This explains it. And that's what I love about the, you know, just chatting about this kind of stuff, you know. So basically you have to do a thought experiment to kind of begin the grasp and to see where we come up with this idea that consciousness exists at first. So, Ken, Dr. Rose, that I can grab you physically and, you know, just like Star Trek, I can beam you out of the universe into whatever is not in the universe, you know, beam you out, not into space, but like literally out of the entire universe. You know, we think of the universe as all encompassing. It goes on forever, but it doesn't. It's finite. And there is beyond the universe. There is beyond the universe, you know, and we think of it as all that is. But just like our lifetime on this planet is like a blink when we consider our species having gone back, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. Likewise, the entire existence, whether you want to go with the 11 billion or the 13 billion of the universe, the entire existence of the universe, we don't know. It could just be on all of existence, you know, which our brains can't even contemplate this, all right? But let's do this thought experiment where, okay, so there is the finite universe and there's something outside of it. We beam you out of the universe. There you are. What do you think happens instantly?
I have no idea. How do you even
visualize
being outside of the universe?
I know. Hey, folks, we warned you we were going deep. Okay, so we pull you out of the universe. In order for matter to exist, you have to have the universe. Mm-hmm. You have to have space-time. Okay, so instantaneously, your body completely disintegrates. Every substance and every material making that up, you know, and every molecule and every atom making up the molecule and every subatomic particle making that up instantaneously, because you have to be in the physical universe for there to be material things, you know, energy and matter.
Right. Okay.
So you see where I'm getting at, but there's something left. Uh-oh.
And that's your consciousness, I guess.
You got it. Consciousness. Consciousness. Your consciousness still exists. Okay? And that is the big aha moment. Because if you can contemplate this happening, you know, in the thought experiment, beaming ourselves out of the universe, you know, what happens to our physical body, but our consciousness is still there. And this gives us a clue to what existed before the beginning of the universe. Consciousness.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But it's very, very different, Rose. Very, very different, because I'm beaming you out of the universe. Your body disappears. You still have your consciousness. You can still contemplate. Can't really do much of anything, but you can contemplate. but the thing is that what are you bringing with you from the universe when I bring you out here? And there's just you, your consciousness, the real you, your spiritual self, if you want to say it that way.
Right.
You're bringing with you your experiences. Because although you're now just consciousness, for many decades, we won't go into that because we don't talk about how old we are. Oh, my God. Anyway, but you've had decades of experience. So you can still think of past experiences. You can contemplate things. You can rationale. You know, you can remember past experiences, and you can re-experience. We call it revivification in hypnosis. You could still all do that. But remember, when we're talking about, you know, the consciousness before the universe is created, there's no experience yet. The universe hasn't been created. There's no space-time.
Right.
you have to have at least 2 points in space in order for there to be relativity to each other, and mm-hmm. for there to be the seemingly passing of linear time. And in order to have experience, you have to have linear time or the experience of it. You know, people say that time doesn't really exist, but we have a concept of it, you know, and 1 minute following the next minute kind of thing, you know, second after second, that kind of thing.
Right, and that's based on the planet that we live on. But if you're not on the planet, the time would be something completely different. I mean, if you would even think of time, it would be a different experience.
Because Because like Einstein taught us, everything is relative to everything else.
Exactly.
But remember, he's talking about in the physical universe. We're going back before the physical universe was created because we want to know what's the topic of the show. You know, where did the universe come from? Okay.
Right.
And why, you know, once you know where and how, you get the why. And that's coming up in a little bit here. So the contemplation of this and, you know, this consciousness, you can call it whatever you want. You know, the collective consciousness, Carl Jung called it that. You can call it God if you want. I don't like using the term God because it's a charged name that everybody has a different contemplation of it. So what I do is when I want to use God, I write it out as an acronym. I write out G.O.D. standing for the grand ocean of divinity, G-O-D, the grand ocean of divinity.
That's the first time I've heard of that. Okay. The grand ocean.
Oh, really?
Ocean
I've said it on
divinity.
Radio shows before, maybe not on our Friday show. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a grand ocean of divinity. It's pure consciousness. There's never been experience. So you got consciousness sitting there, maybe for 10,000 years, maybe for 10 quadrillion infinity years. We don't know, you know.
Right.
But at some point, consciousness decides to do something. Now, there's no experience. So it to do, there's very little that it can do. So what the way we describe this is we're using one of the patterns of sacred geometry called the flower of life and the formation of the flower and how it's formed. We do it on a two-dimensional piece of paper with a compass, creating a circle, then creating another circle. But it's really spheres. It's really a three-dimensional thing we're describing in two dimensions when we draw out the flower of life. And this pattern appears in nearly every culture across the entire globe. Some depictions of it date back over 10,000 years.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a reason for that. Why would people 10,000 years ago be drawing out the flower of life, right?
Right.
So how do we get the flower of life when we're talking about consciousness? Well, think of consciousness, think of it as a pinpoint of consciousness. So a dot on the paper, right? And, you know, I don't know how old you folks are out there listening. They probably don't even use compasses anymore in school. Remember we had the compasses with the pencil on the one side
right.
and the point on the other?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so you put the point in that dot. And by the way, later on after the show, if you want to get a visual of this, just go onto YouTube and search Spirit Science has a really good depiction of this, or the Flower of Life, the formation of the Flower of Life. You're going to get a lot of videos, or you can just Google images and see this for yourself visually. But you put the point in the dot of consciousness, and then you spin the compass around. You're making a circle around it. So think of it this way: consciousness does the only thing it knows. Well, it doesn't even know. The only thing it can contemplate to do is to expand itself, expand its consciousness, expands out in all directions, forming this sphere that we're representing as a circle, two-dimensionally. So you got that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now there's something new. There's the edge of the sphere, the edge of the circle that didn't exist before. So consciousness breaks off a piece of itself from the center and moves out to the edge of the sphere or circle. When we're drawing it on a piece of paper, what we're doing is we're taking the point of the compass and now putting it on the circle anywhere. And then spin it around and you're drawing another circle. So now you have two circles or two, if you want to think three-dimensionally, you have two spheres that intersect each other. Now this creates a new shape. The first shape ever in existence was a circle. And it was feminine. Mm-hmm. Yes. I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but women came first. The feminine came first. Now, the Vesica Pisces, which is this almond shape that's formed by the intersection of two circles, is the next shape that's ever created, and it's another feminine shape. It's sometimes called the womb of the universe. If the two circles are side by side, or if you flip it so the circles are one on top of each other, it looks like an eye, so they call it the eye of the universe. And this shape, pattern of the flower of life, shows up literally everywhere. I mean, it's in Christian images. It's in Islamic images. It's on ancient tarot cards, the older tarot cards. Mm-hmm. Some of them have the Vesica Pisces on it. So now there's something new, though, because the circles intersect, and there's a place where the two circles intersect. Consciousness decides to move there and forms the next circle.
Mm.
And now you have three. Now you have the Holy Trinity. If you're a Christian, you know what the mm-hmm. Holy Trinity is. That's the first symbology of the Holy Trinity, and that's another thing that shows up everywhere. It's like three Vesica Pisces intersecting. We've almost got the flower of life. And consciousness continues around this central circle, creating the circles around it. And if it creates the first manifestation shape or pattern, which is known as the seed of life or the Genesis pattern. And the first flower of life then emerges in the center. That's why it's called the flower of life, because it looks like petals coming off of the center there. So it looks like a flower. Hmm. And it's called the seed of life or the Genesis pattern because it's the genesis of all things. Material realm, all of life, everything.
Right.
Just look at the book of Genesis, right? God creates the world in 6 days. Well, the process of drawing out this pattern takes 6 steps.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
And this is also the first time that we can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So now we have 1 through 6. The first numbers in numerology, and then on the seventh day, God rested, right? Seven is considered the spiritual number in numerology. In fact, master number 77 is associated with Jesus. You can look that up on your own time too, folks. But seven is the number of contemplation. If you have a seven life path, you're like a natural detective. You want to know how the universe works. So this makes a lot of sense here. So when we get to seven, we contemplate the first 6 steps. And these are the first 6 steps of creation or manifestation. And this leads us to the number 8, abundance.
Okay.
Which means that our knowledge of the first 6 steps, through this we're able to attain abundance. And that leads to 9, the completion of a cycle. Now, don't overthink any of this. I'm just showing you how we get the first 9 numbers in numerology.
Right.
Classical Pythagorean numerology, it's 9 numbers. It actually comes from these steps. This is how we first count. This is how we first get the nine vibrations, nine different levels of vibration. It's all based on this. Okay? But, of course, the pattern doesn't stop there. You know, it can actually literally continue out into infinity, you know, just consciousness moving out to the edge of a circle and expanding its consciousness out, forming a new sphere or circle, and just it could go on ad infinitum, just out for forever. Now, there's an interesting thing, though. After the seed of life, the Genesis pattern, and then the next group of circles around it, most depictions stop there.
Mm-hmm.
This pattern will be inside of a large circle or usually two lines going around, and that's what we see depicted all around, as I mentioned, in every culture has this. There's a reason for that. You see, the powers that be, the people in the know, they wanted to keep everyone else from seeing what happens when you go out further than the first two layers. See, because when you get out to the third layer, pattern arises. This is what happens. Remember, up to this point, we have consciousness expanding its consciousness in all directions to form these circles, and it's feminine. Well, we finally have the masculine come in. When it gets out to the third generation, consciousness does something different. Because remember, at the center of each of these circles or spheres, it decides, and it happens kind of collectively, where they all decide, and now, for the first time ever, we don't have a singular consciousness. We have multiple consciousnesses operating. What happens is, instead of expanding out, it does the opposite. It narrows the focus down to a pinpoint like a laser, and shoots its consciousness out to the next piece of consciousness in the middle of the next circle or sphere, if you want to think three-dimensionally. And every other pinpoint consciousness in the center does the same thing. And it forms these lines, these straight lines. On a piece of paper, we draw a straight line from the center of every circle to the center of every other circle after we've gotten out three generations, and it forms this pattern, and it's called Metatron's Cube, named after the angel Metatron. Obviously, this is way before Metatron, but Metatron is associated with the Egyptian god Thoth and Hermes. Metatron was the scribe of God, the only angel that was allowed to sit in the presence of God, because he would write down everything going on and, you know, all the history and all the knowledge and everything like that. And that's why it's named after Metatron, because everything comes out of the cube, basically. Within the cube, now we're starting to get somewhere. Now we're starting to get to how creation happens, because in the cube forms other patterns, geometric patterns. And the simplest of these, the lowest we can get down is to five patterns, and they're called Platonic solids. They're named after Plato, because Plato was the first to really describe this. It's the tetrahedron, the hexahedron, the octahedron, the icosahedron, and the dodecahedron. I don't know how many people remember geometry in high school, but yes, you actually learned all this stuff way back when. But you could just...
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, the names, but, long time ago. Yeah.
So you can go ahead and Google this. Google Platonic solids, and you'll see what we're talking about, these geometric shapes. So the tetrahedron is fire, the hexahedron is earth, The octahedron is air. The icosahedron is water. And the dodecahedron is the fifth element or the quintessential element, spirit.
Mm.
Remember
dodecahedron,
the movie? The fifth,
is that...
Dodecahedron, yes. Remember
okay.
the movie with Bruce Willis, the fifth element?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where all this comes from. You know, people don't realize this, you know, but that's where that all comes from. It comes from
right.
Metatron's cube, which comes from the flower of life, which comes from sacred geometry. And
right.
what we're doing is we're creating the elements to form the physical universe. And, you know, this is the, we've gone to, from, the what to the how the universe
mm-hmm.
is created, because consciousness is forming patterns and is then able to create elements out of that, which forms the entire universe. Now, of course, most people, you know, we went through school, we learned about the periodic table of elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of elements. Yeah. And you know, they did away with the concept of the four elements that actually make up the physical universe, minus the fifth element, is the fire, earth, air, water, and that was like an alchemical way of looking at it. And you know, from the Middle Ages, we kind of poo-pooed that, you know. But in the 1980s, Dr. Robert Moon of the University of California, no, the University of Chicago. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of you, the University of California in Berkeley, so, the University.
Right.
The University of Chicago, Dr. Moon, in the 1980s, he showed the geometric relationship between the five platonic solids and all the elements on the periodic table. He showed how they were all interconnected, that it took one of the five or a combination of the five platonic solids to geometrically create all the elements on the periodic table. So the ancients were right.
Mm.
The ancients were right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So now we've got the five elements and the four material elements that create the physical universe, along with the nine numbers of numerology.
Mm-hmm.
So the universe is created. Simple elements come first, you know. Hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe, and there's a reason for that, because it's smaller element, you know, simpler elements getting more complicated, you know, and then there's galaxies form, solar systems, planets, then life forms on planets. It gets more complicated. Evolution happens. But the thing is, consciousness was there the whole time watching, starting to experience. Because remember, there was no experience at first. You had to have the physical universe. You had to have time, space, in order for this to happen. Now, I brought up the tarot connection, and I know all the tarot people that are out there. Yes, but what does this have to do with tarot? Well, think about it for a second. You've got the five elements, and you've got the nine numbers in numerology. That makes a matrix. What is that? That's tarot. That's tarot, folks. That's tarot. You've got the minor arcana and the major arcana. That's where they break up the deck. You've got the what would be like our 52-card playing deck in poker, for instance, you know, and then you have this trump suit of the 22 cards. That's the fifth element, or the quintessential, or the element of spirit, you know. And then the four suits in the minor arcana are the earth, air, fire, water. And
right.
then they go ace, one, two, three, four, five. That's the numerology. So once you have numerology and you have the five elements, tarot deck. The tarot deck, to me, is just a physical manifestation of the nine vibrations of numerology and the elements that come out of Metatron's cube from the flower of life, from the creation of the universe. It's describing to us what happened. And it doesn't stop there. You know, have you ever wondered why there's 78 cards in the tarot deck? why is there not 103 or 80 or 65 or 52 like in our poker deck? Well, it's simple. It takes exactly 78 lines drawn from the center of each circle to each circle in the Flower of Life to form Metatron's Cube, the same number of cards that's in the tarot deck. Yeah. So the entire structure of the deck and how it's put together comes from this.
Interesting.
So as we were, you know, so now we're getting into, you know, the universe is created, simple elements first, then it gets more complex, galaxies, solar systems, planets, life forms, gets more complicated, evolution happens. But consciousness was there the whole time, kind of tweaking as it went along, as it learned, because it's learning. It's, you know, it doesn't know this ahead of time. You know, we think of the, you know, the, God, the G-O-D, a lot of people think, it, you know, omniscient, knows everything, you know, but actually it's 180 degrees the opposite way. The whole reason for the universe to be created is cover all this, for experience to happen. And it tweaks along the way, and it's trying to get to a certain point. It's trying to, remember I talked about the big brains? We have our big brains, and the scientists, the material scientists said, you know, all of physicality in the universe happened by accident, and then life formed, and then through evolution, it just accidentally got us to the point where we had humans, we had sentient beings, we had the big brains where consciousness could arise from the brain. But actually, it was 180 degrees the other way around. Consciousness was first, created the universe, and kept tweaking along, didn't even know life was going to happen, but then once it happened, it said, oh, what can we do with that? And, you know, it starts to evolve on its own, but then there's little tweaks here and there. You ever heard of the missing link? So there's a gap in the fossil record between Homo sapien, us, and our nearest ancestor, and they've never been able to find it, even to this to this day. It's like there's all our predecessors, and then there's this leap, and not over time, like evolution's supposed to be, you know, take a lot of time. This is a quick leap, and then suddenly there are modern humans. And my hypothesis on this is that, remember, consciousness is there. And so consciousness wants to get to the point where there could be sentience. So it does a little tweak in our DNA. And our brains are able to get bigger. And then you have modern man. And you finally have, now along the way, it doesn't mean that all the creatures before don't have consciousness. We know that, right? Our cats are sometimes smarter than us, right? Than our dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the cats, you know. So they have consciousness, but the only difference between them and us is they don't contemplate themselves and the existence of consciousness and where the universe came from. You have to have sentience to do that, right? So as the organisms got more and more complicated, consciousness was able to inhabit life more and more and have higher and higher levels of consciousness, as we think of it, you know, thinking type consciousness, and made that final leap to humans so that consciousness is a little more formed in us where we can actually contemplate consciousness. We can contemplate the G-O-D, the grand ocean of divinity. We can contemplate the formation of the universe and, you know, the astronomers looking back through time, through the telescopes, but also those that recognize the patterns in life and came up with the concept of sacred geometry and extrapolate that to, you know, how we start with consciousness and then how the universe is created. But then there's the why. And this is, and you probably already have gotten it by now. The why is very simple. Consciousness wanted to experience something besides thinking, besides being there with nothing to think about, because the original consciousness never had an experience. So,
yeah, I remember I read what is it? These books by Donald, I think it was Donald Walsh, about conversations with God. And that was the same thing that they talked about in that particular text, where, you know, creation wanted to, or creation, God, or whatever you want to call it, wanted to experience itself. So, like you said, you know, if beforehand it's not going to be thinking anything, what would it think about? There's nothing there. You know, it's just existence, right? But, in other words, everything that's been created here, there's this concept out there in the spiritual communities that, whatever you want to call it, the divine being, God, or whatever, wanted to experience, or consciousness wanted to experience itself. And that's where, you know, the whole creation comes in. But anyway, I just wanted to add that. I was thinking about that.
No, that's perfect. That shows you right there. And, you know, I did read those books, but I can't remember. You know, it was so long ago.
It was a lot. You know, I mean, I'm not cracking on conversations with God, but I remember reading at least a couple of them, and it's a lot of information to take in.
It is.
Just studying it or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like sacred geometry, and you know, you can really go down the rabbit hole. I mean, we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here with what we've been talking about today. But I just, you know, wanted to give another perspective, this time from sacred geometry, on how the universe was created, why consciousness came first. It answers a lot of questions, like, how did we leap from our predecessors to modern man? You know, why would the universe even be? You know, it's humans like there to be a reason for things. And, you know, when materialist scientists say, oh, it was all accidental and it just happened, you know, for no reason at all, we really, you know, push back on things like that. You know, there should be a reason, and there is a reason, you know, because just looking at the universe and how it functions, we realize that the whole purpose, the way it's set up, the way it is so that there could be space-time, so that there could be linear experience. Because without the universe, you don't have linear experience. You know,
that's true.
It also, if you think of consciousness as always being there, and scientists talk about subatomic particles, you know, when we were kids, we were taught about the neutron, proton in the center, the electron flying around like a mini solar system, but they didn't give us the whole story that these subatomic particles actually pop in and out of existence all the time, out of something that they call the quantum field or the zero point field.
Right.
And to me, that's just the spiritual realm. That is just the dimension of the G.O.D., the grand ocean of divinity, the collective consciousness, and matter is just popping into existence, you know, using these patterns to create the physical universe.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, consciousness permeates the entire universe, and, you know, they were material scientists were a little confused because, you know, if there was something like the Big Bang and the universe, you know, shoots out into existence in all directions and then it should start slowing down and then it should contract. But that's not happening. It's actually expanding out and faster. So they came up with a hypothesis, just like the Big Bang is a hypothesis. You know, we can't go back and prove it. Same thing with, you've heard of dark matter and dark energy? they discovered that, you know, there was 26% of the physical universe that couldn't be explained. So they came up with this concept of dark matter. And then the expansion of the universe, they came up with, you know, where's the energy for that? Well, they came up with this idea of there being dark energy. And from those of us that have studied sacred geometry, you know, we just giggle because it's like there's no dark energy or dark matter. It's consciousness that's expanding the universe out, you know. And there's a reason for this. Where did we start with this whole conversation? Where did we start with this whole conversation? You got consciousness sitting there, has no experience, can't do anything else except for what? Expand itself out, expand consciousness out.
Yeah.
And that's how we get the beginning of the formation of the patterns that create the physical universe. But consciousness did not know that was going to happen when it first expanded. And so consciousness, you know, the greater, I'm talking about the greater consciousness here, you know, the grand ocean of divinity, you know, it's still doing its primary original thing, expansion. That's why the universe is continuing to expand. Yeah. And it's also why we as humans who have a sliver of this consciousness in us, spiritual beings first, that are inhabiting a physical form. And it's depicted on the tarot card Temperance, the Temperance card, where the figure has one foot in the water and one foot on dry land. We're straddling between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. We're the only thing that does that. We're the only creature that does that. And we still have this innate in us ourselves, and that's why we get a feeling of there should be more, why a lot of us want to expand our consciousness out, why we want to meditate, contemplate the entirety of existence versus just ourselves as existence. And that's where this comes from that original happening of the expansion of consciousness. And that's why I said also that we should flip the pyramid upside down, because sentient beings are the ultimate creation in my mind. Not anything before, not even the original consciousness, because we're the only ones that can manifest in the physical realm and straddle between the two.
Oh, okay. So you said sentient beings. Okay, I got you. All right. Ah, interesting.
Sentient beings. You know, this could be aliens on other planets, not just us. You know, we're the only ones we know about right now. But it's a huge universe out there, and there's most likely other inhabitable planets, and there's most likely other forms of life, either similar to our own, or you know, they talk about crystal entities.
Right.
They talk about other elements developing into life, you know, silicon-based life forms and things like that. So, but anything that's sentient, where the physical structure of their physical body gets to the point where it can inhabit, consciousness can inhabit it. When I describe life, I tell people to think of the grand ocean of divinity. This is another analogy that I make. And think about it for a second. You're looking out on the rough seas of this grand ocean of divinity, and you see waves come up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And let's say we're standing on one wave, and we can look across. We're on wave A. We can look over it. Look, there's wave B over there. You know, of course, it only lasts for a fraction of a minute, but imagine that the wave coming up and freezing there for 80 years is what we are. Consciousness separating itself for, you know, it seems long to us, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but it's actually a blink, a blip on the radar, so to speak. You know, it's just a tiny bit of time, really. Yeah. And if you think of it that way, you can see how waves can be separate from each other. Wave A can look at wave B, and wave B can look at wave A, right? But are they still not part of the bigger ocean? So that's us. And any other sentient being that's able to have we think of our physical body, even those of us that think of consciousness this way, we still think of it as in here, inside the body. But in reality, our body is within consciousness. Consciousness is on the outside. And even neuroscientists are starting to figure out that our memories and even some of our thought processes, but especially our memories, are not really stored in the brain, but stored somewhere else. And this would be where it would be stored, our own personal field of energy, our own personal field of consciousness around the body. But we're the only creatures that, other creatures have, other animals and even plants, they've had experiments that showed reactions in plants, Other things have consciousness. But what I'm talking about is a level of sophistication in the apparatus where we're able to have an experience of our own consciousness.
Wow.
because of this, we're able to manifest in the physical realm. We're able to do what the original consciousness did. We're able to, in our consciousness, create things and then bring them into the physical universe. Now, of course, most of us, we're doing this physically, So Steve Jobs creates the iPhone in his mind and then has to physically create it, okay? Now, people with Life Path 44, the Master Manifestor number, they can literally snap their fingers and it appears. True manifestation, as depicted by the magician card in tarot. The magician has the five elements, and the four elements is on his table there, and he's able to manipulate the elements and literally manifest. He's drawing down cosmic energy from he has one hand up in the air holding a wand. He's pulling down from the spiritual element and pointing down to the ground. And with his mastery over the material world, his mastery over the four elements, he's able to physically manifest whatever he wants. And that's our ultimate how far out humans could really go. And some people even contemplate that we actually were doing that many, many thousands and thousands of years ago, but that we lost that ability along the way. Others say we haven't gotten to that point yet, but we will eventually. It's to a point of like a Buddha or Jesus, that kind of a figure that can manifest. Some say that even the teachings of Jesus, if you really pay attention to it, has a lot to do with manifestation and creation. And he keeps telling us that the kingdom is inside of you, and that anything that I do, you can do and more to the kingdom. And many other depictions of God or God-like beings in our pantheons across the entire globe.
In the East.
They all talk about this.
Yeah.
That's the pinnacle of human existence, is that we can on purpose manifest, and experience anything we want. And that's the why, not just for why the universe was created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know the bigger consciousness wanted to experience, but also why we're here. That's right in front of our eyes. That, you know, we always think that there's, you know, this reason, you know, each of us has a purpose in life, blah, blah, blah. In reality, mm-hmm. no. It's much simpler than that. We're just here to experience. And through our connection to our higher self and then into the collective consciousness, we're feeding all of this information, all these experiences mm-hmm. up, funneling it up into that. And by the way, because we're all interconnected this way, that's why when a scientist or an inventor creates something here, a lot of times you'll find out that across the globe over here and way across the globe over there, you know, three other people figured out and created the same thing at virtually the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're downloading this information from the collective consciousness that's always been up there. Artists, if you talk to artists and musicians and songwriters and even scientists, Einstein said this, that you know, all the ideas came to them. They were writing, and it was like it was flowing out of their hand from somebody else. It wasn't them thinking. They were
mm-hmm.
just putting it down, you know. Or Paul McCartney talks about, you know, he just woke up with the notes in his mind and just wrote it down. It came from somewhere
mm-hmm.
else. Einstein said the exact
right.
same thing, you know. And
right.
most scientists that have had really big experiences, you know, big discoveries will tell you that they daydreamed it. It came from somewhere else, or it came in a dream, or it just
yeah.
entered their mind. You know, they weren't thinking on it. It just snapped. It was there, kind of thing. And that's why, because all these experiences are there in the collective consciousness, which we all can tap into. Think Akashic, all that's meant by that. That's
mm-hmm.
what the Akashic records are. Yes. Anyway, that's it.
Cool.
We're here to experience. Yeah. Fun chat. And I tried to do it as succinctly as possible. It kept it under an hour.
You covered a lot of material. I have to give you that. You really did cover a lot, and that's wonderful. Yeah.
And one last thing before I forget is that,
uh-huh.
you know, I mentioned the Temperance card, and next week we're actually going on break. I'm having my second vaccine shot on Friday, and I had a reaction the first time. So just in case, we're taking
right.
Friday and Saturday off next week, okay? But we will return in 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks, the show will be a continuation of this. We're going to be talking about following the Temperian path, the Tarot Temperance card.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we ended up the
right.
conversation with why we're here and how, you know, we're the ultimate pinnacle because, you know, we're the only thing that straddles between the spiritual realm and the physical realm and knows that that's happening. And can make use of that, you see.
Right.
And it's depicted on the Temperance card. And so we're going to get into the Temperance card and what Temperian is and what the Temperian path, the Temperian principle are. That's Friday, April 23rd. So mark your calendars on that.
And I'm sorry, what's the name of the show again? Is that that's the one where we're talking about? Because I know we were talking about the different, I mean, in our personal conversations with each other a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the goddesses of the tarot. Is that that same show?
No. That's next month.
Oh, okay.
I think we have that. Yeah, I think we have that scheduled sometime in May. But our let's see, Friday the 16th we're on break, and then we come back on the 23rd, following the Temperian path, the Tarot Temperance card. And you can find it on our upcoming show page, psychictalk.net/upcoming. Hey, Rose, do you want to tell people what's coming up on the network over the next week?
Yes. So tomorrow, so both of our shows start at 11 a.m. Pacific to 2 p.m. Eastern. So just try to remember that, 11 a.m. Pacific, if you're on the Pacific Coast, and 2 p.m. Eastern. And tomorrow we have the Tarot Today radio show with Mary Brown and Dax Carlisle. And they're going to be having open lines and free tarot mini readings the whole show. So you want to definitely take advantage of this opportunity. Come and get your questions asked, get a mini reading, find out what's going on with your life or different areas of your life. Well, probably one area at a time. So you want to make sure that you do that. That's tomorrow, Saturday. There's open lines and free tarot mini readings with Mary Brown and Dax. Dax Carlisle, sorry. And then on Sunday, we have the Divine Hand Palmistry and a special guest, James Divine, on the Magic Universe show with Sharona Rapsick. So you want to definitely check that out. On Wednesday's show is at a different time, and that is it starts at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern. And that's the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Hour with Catherine Hahn, and she'll be talking about the power of gratitude and kindness. And then, as Dax said, on Friday and on Saturday, we're going to have a break. And then Monday, April 19th, we'll be back. Well, not Dax and I on that particular day, but Janice Fuchs will be back with the Wisdom of the Soul show at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And that is what's coming up for the next week. And if you want to find out, if you ever want to look at our schedule, what you want to do is just go to psychictalk.net/upcoming. That's psychictalk.net/upcoming. And you'll get a list of all the shows that are happening for the month of, we have it all the way up until April 30th. We don't have the May calendar just yet, but that'll be upcoming. But we do let you know what's coming up in June. So you want to make sure that you check that out. psychictalk.net/upcoming. And that's what we have.
Awesome
stuff.
So let's to here for the end of the show. Remember, we're doing a whole show of open lines tomorrow, Mary and I. So it's the same bat time, same bat channel. Just write down that phone number, 714-816-4628, and write down the link to our chat post, because that has all the information on it and how to chat with us in the comments on that post. And that is psychictalk.net/chat. And with those two things, the phone number and the chat link, you can join us for any show that we've got going on. So if we don't get to your call today, call in tomorrow or on Sunday with Sharona. Let's see. It looks like area code 678. I'm dyslexic. I'm reading it backwards. 678 is the first caller. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm sorry, when you said dyslexic, I just had to chuckle because two people have asked me recently, am I dyslexic, that I've just kind of met. So that's so funny. I'm like, no, but okay. So that's weird. Anyway, my name is Kathy. From
Hi,
Georgia.
Kathy.
How are you guys?
Fine. How are you?
Good. If you could kind of look at the guy, see what's going on with the guy that I'm interested in. He is on the brain.
Sure.
It's the bizarrest thing.
He's
ever.
What?
First thing in the morning, he's on my brain. First thing in the morning when I wake up,
ah.
As soon as my eyes open, torture. And then during the day, I'm decent, fine. And then at night, right before I go to bed, he's on the brain. And then when I wake up in the morning. So what is that all about? Because it's driving me insane. I'm just like, this is too much for me.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I mean, this has been going on for about 3 weeks. I need sleep. I need peace. And
yeah.
I'm just like,
it
yeah,
should be
so
a good thing, but it should, you know, it shouldn't be keeping you up at night. You know, I mean, so it's not someone you're dating. It's somebody that you have interest in.
You're interested in? Yeah.
Well, we were kind of dating, I don't know what we do. I don't know what we do. I can't even explain it at this point. I don't even have words for it. So that's why I'm just like, I know he's interested. He's had some issues. And I think it's my soulmate, but it's just, it's too much. I'm just the person, get it together or leave. And I don't know why he's on the brain. I'm just like, I've never had somebody on the brain like this. I mean, literally,
so
your eyes pop open
wow.
and they think about it. They're there.
So he doesn't have his life together? Is that the part of the problem?
Or what?
No, I was trying to find out what's happening, because what I'm hearing is that obviously you're interested in him, but your conscious mind doesn't want to be. So on a deep level, if you're dreaming about him, thinking about him in the morning, like, you know, before you start working in your day and getting yourself busy, you're definitely interested in him. The issue, but it sounds like there's some kind of issue that's there, other than the fact that you don't want to be. Like, part of you is like, oh, no, I don't want to be interested. I don't know why I'm thinking about this person. But deep down inside.
Or he's no longer
interested
in you?
Right. Like, what is but what is the issue between you and him? You said get your life together. Are you talking to him? Talking to you? What's going on?
No, him, he has numerous books. He has get life together financially, get life together and be all in, just be ready. It's all the things that make up a relationship that is just weird, because it's hard to explain. He's interested in me. I know he likes me a whole lot, but it's that you're too good to be true. You're too good for this. I can't believe you just popped in my life unexpected. It's that type. And it's just like, okay, just get off the pot. You either jump in or totally jump in or jump out. There's no middle ground. And I'm too old for that.
Okay.
And I'm just getting tired. Mm-hmm. So does that help out?
Yeah, that does. So he's a bit resistant on that. Go ahead, Dax. Go ahead.
Well, I just have another question here. Does he happen to be an earth sign, like a Taurus, a Virgo, or a Capricorn?
He's a Pisces, and I'm a Leo, and that's another reason why it's driving me insane.
Okay. Yeah, the reason why I asked that is when I pull cards, Kathy, I'm gonna put your line on hold for a second, because there's a ton of feedback. I don't know where that's coming from. You might be listening on speakerphone or something like that. It's creating a feedback loop, you know. So if you can put a earbuds on, a headset or something, you know, or just switch to regular phone mode, maybe that'll cut out all that noise there. But the reason I ask that is because in the future position, the Page of Pentacles, Page of Coins shows up. And it doesn't have to be, but typically that is somebody very grounded, an earth sign, a Taurus, Virgo, or Capricorn, or somebody that's just very earthy, you know, grounded, practical, meticulous, you know, that kind of person, studious, diligent. And the reason why I bring this up is, you know, if it was depicting him, okay, but it's not. It's depicting somebody else. So there's your first clue. There is your first clue. The central focus card is the Ace of Swords, the beginning of victory, you know, the seed of an idea. And, you know, to me, when you have a single sword show up in any of the cards, because you have cards that have multiple swords. Swords are thoughts and ideas in tarot. And sometimes we have too many thoughts. And when you know, Rose, when you have an ace card or a knight card or anything that has one sword, queen of swords, you know, things like that, it's latching on to one thought or idea. It's focused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Kathy can put the focus on him. Tara's really talking about here is that she needs to put the focus elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's what I see is going on. And if you can do that, then what shows up? The Wheel of Fortune card. Fortune turning in your favor. Okay? You're breaking yourself. You'll be able to break yourself free of this constant thinking of this guy by moving forward. Because right now you're stuck. Right now you're here. Your thoughts are all over the place, and you don't have the single focus that the Ace of Swords is talking about. Now, there are a lot of ways to work on things that are popping up in your dreams and your thought processes. You can use NLP techniques. You can use hypnosis. You can see a practitioner to work on that. I don't know how to put it, like from the negative side of things, you know, quashing the negative. But the real way to quash the negative is to focus on the positive. It's to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you have to make the decision, you know, and when there's a single sword, that's symbolic to me of that too, Rose, making a decision. Okay, are you going to go for this guy or not? If you're going to go for this guy, synchronize all your focus on making it happen. And it could, you know, there's nothing in the card saying that it couldn't happen. And you got to have the big talk with him. You know, you got to lay it all out. You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to be crass, but what do they usually say? Shit or get off the pot. You know, I mean, come on, you know, what are you doing here? And another card that gives us a clue is the High Priestess card shows up. This is about inner wisdom and intuition. You already know the answer to all of this. You're just calling in for us to confirm it for you. I always say tarot is 90% confirmation, 10% new information. So the new information is, hey, there's another guy waiting in the wings. But you ain't going to manifest him in, this Taurus guy or this earthy guy, you know, Capricorn, Virgo, Taurus, or just somebody that is very stable, which sounds completely unlike this other guy. Okay, he's right there. And he's either chronologically younger than you, because pages tend to refer to that, or he could be the same age but have a very youthful outlook on things. He might be even a student. He's there. He's waiting in the wings, but you can't manifest him in your life if you're focused on this other guy and you keep thinking about him, you know. So you've got to have the big talk. You've got to decide, are you guys going to go for it or not? And then if not, you got to make the decision within yourself that you're done. And that's when you'll stop dreaming and thinking of this guy, and all that stuff will fade away once you put your focus on, hey, I'm manifesting in this really cool Page of Coins guy that's grounded and practical and, you know, and just visualize what you want, you know, and write it down on a piece of paper when you get to that point. You know, start writing down the attribute, you know, not the specific person exactly, you know, well, he's 6'2", he's got dark hair. No, I mean, I'm talking about the qualities of the individual and the relationship that you want. You got to write those down and manifest them in. So now the ball's in your court. You got to decide where you're going to go with that, Kathy. I hope that makes sense.
The only thing that it's not like I intentionally go, okay, I'm going to go to sleep and then I'm going to think about him. No, it's like I'm sleepy. I turn the TV off. I start, you know, I should just fall asleep. There it is.
I get you. It's not you consciously. It's your subconscious mind. This is a program running in your subconscious mind. And like I said, if you really want to, if you want to go that direction and knock that out, you know, a hypnotherapist can help you change the program in your subconscious mind. But the smarter, better, easier way is just to focus on the positive. And that could be either with this guy by having the big conversation or by saying, okay, I'm done. And now I'm going to focus on and I'm going to manifest and bring this other guy in. That's how you take care of that problem.
Yeah, basically you can influence your subconscious mind. It's not like it's coming from some other place telling you, this is the one. You know, it's not that. It's your subconscious saying, I really am interested in this person in a way, right? Or like you said, it's a program that's running in the background. And you can change that. You just have to be definitive in your mind about, okay, I'm either going for this guy or I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And once you make that decision, once you make that decision, this other programming will subside. It'll just become less later.
One last thing, and then we got to go, Kathy, because I want to squeeze one more call in. Is that as long as you don't make this decision, the subconscious mind is going to keep bringing this person up. You have to make the decision.
Okay.
Yep. I hope that helped you out, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, Kathy. You know, it's a tough one, you know, but you're not going to know until you make a decision. And you either decide to go for it with this guy, which means you have to have the big talk. And it's like, hey, what are we doing here? You know, I got to know if this is happening or not happening. Or you decide, yeah, it's too much trouble. Think of all the negatives that happened in the dating or relationship before and say, yeah, I don't need that again, you know, and just move on.
Yeah.
You know, and once you start shifting your focus and giving your subconscious mind something else to focus on and to bring into your life, it won't continue to run that program and keep bringing it in, you see.
Right.
That's what's going on. Let's try to squeeze one more in, then we got to go because – we got a conference call to get to, me and Dr. Rose here. So, area code 916, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, area code 916. Are you there?
Oh.
I don't know. Let me put them back on hold. Sometimes the switchboard gets hung up, you know, gets kind of stuck. So let me try it. Oh, that was Rose. Hold on. Okay, there's Rose. Got her live. And
I was wondering why the thing said muted. I said, oh, I think you hit the wrong one. Yeah.
The switchboard jumped. And, actually, I figured out what happened. They dropped off the line before we could get to them.
Yeah.
Okay,
now,
because they were dropping off the line at the exact second I was pressing and bringing their mic live. Oh, well, too bad. But that's okay. We got to run anyway. We're at the end of the show here, and we got to run because we've got a conference with the other hosts to get to. But it was a great show, a lot of great information there. And, you know, I gave you a little tidbits, and you could decide how far down the rabbit hole you really want to go. Search for the Spirit Science channel on YouTube, Spirit Science. And you can go as far down the sacred geometry rabbit hole as you want. And it's some fascinating stuff. You know, I only just, you know, scraped the surface of this. You know, there is like so much more, so much more. Okay. So great show, Dr. Rose. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
We definitely will.
All righty. Thanks to all our listeners and callers. And we're going to say goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Rose.
Bye, Dax. Bye, everybody. Have a great 2 weeks. We'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.